This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, May 26th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Chinese poultry restrictions lifted. How to win a trade war. And objections to Roundup settlement. 17 states are no longer facing HPAI restrictions for exports of poultry to China. That's according to the National Chicken Council. The Agriculture Department has updated its website now indicating China's lifted HPAI-related restrictions for those states for products produced after May 15th. China had previously been blocking raw poultry imports from states affected by HPAI outbreaks. 27 states continue to remain under restrictions, according to the National Chicken Council. Chicken Council President Harrison Kircher said in the release that China is a major market for U.S. chicken, especially paws, and the lifting of export restrictions and the reinstatement of the regionalization framework is a significant development. He added, restoration of access would have a meaningful impact on export volumes of American chicken. States that no longer face restrictions include Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, and West Virginia. So how do you win a trade war? Well, it depends. At least that's the premise of a new book on the subject from economist Chad Brown and Financial Times columnist Soumaya Keyes. It depends on what winning looks like, whether it's avoiding an actual war, absorbing less economic damage than everyone else, or getting other countries to change their economic model. It also depends on the economic costs governments are willing or able to shoulder and public perceptions of who is bearing the cost. How to Win a Trade War, an optimist's guide to an anxious global economy, provides an enigma machine for decoding the current trade landscape. Keyes and Brown, former official of the Biden and Obama administrations, walk readers through what is at stake in a trade war, who participates in the weapons and defense measures available with levity. Footnotes are as likely to send a reader to a Reddit forum as they are an economist paper. The book sparks questions in abundance, including just how bad was Brown's gluten-free apple pie and what exactly is a soccer brochure. But it also attempts to cut through the political chatter and weigh in on some of the foundational questions driving global trade policy today, like when and how to subsidize industries, how to reduce import dependencies, and the role of stockpiling. It's not a book about Trump, Kia says at a launch event last week. It's a book about the context. It's meant to help you understand where things go next and where things go after Trump. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Bayer's subsidiary Monsanto is disputing claims that a proposed $7.25 billion class action settlement of Roundup litigation is unconstitutional. Lawyers for plaintiffs suing Monsanto over claims that Roundup exposure caused their non-Hodgkin's lymphoma have objected in Missouri State Court to the proposed settlement. They have also filed a notice in federal court in Missouri seeking to move the case there. The class seeks to bind a group of millions upon millions of people, many who have not been conceived and millions who are children, to the terms of the settlement via so-called future subclass, reaching anyone who saw anyone using Roundup. Such a class is unconstitutional and unprecedented in the annals of U.S. jurisprudence, according to a court filing by the plaintiff lawyers. Bayer released a statement saying it remains, quote, confident that the long-term and well-financed proposed class settlement plan, which is supported by plaintiff law firms representing thousands of potential class members, is fair to all claimants and warrants approved by the court. That according to an article in the New Lead. The future of the U.S.-India agriculture trade is in focus after Secretary of State Marco Rubio's first trip to the world's most populous nation. The visit was widely seen as an effort by the Trump administration to boost trade relations with the South Asian country. Trade issues and the U.S. recent outreach to India's foe Pakistan have taken a toll since February, when the White House announced a framework for an interim trade agreement with India. Rubio on Saturday offered up a reminder of the deal while praising U.S. diplomats. Because of their great work, India has committed to purchasing $500 billion in U.S. goods over the next 5 years, focusing on energy, technology, and agriculture, Rubio said on social media. India External Affairs Minister Subrahmanyam Jaishankar said he and Rubio spoke about the value of concluding at an early date the final text of the interim agreement regarding reciprocal and mutually beneficial trade. That according to a transcript of a joint news conference in New Delhi. Rubio, on behalf of Trump, also invited Prime Minister Narendra Modi to visit the White House. That according to a U.S. readout of the meeting. Rubio also stressed the U.S. will not let Iran hold the global energy market hostage and affirmed that U.S. energy products have the potential to diversify India's energy supply. The Trump administration has been seeking to reduce India's purchases of Russian oil in favor of petroleum supplies in the U.S. and its allies. That effort has been complicated by war in the Middle East that set off a global energy crunch. The Trump administration has been very forthright in putting forward its policy outlook as America first, Jaishankar told reporters. Now, where we are concerned, we have a view of India first, so both of us are obviously driven by our respective national interests. The U.S. exported roughly $3 billion worth of agriculture products to India last year, up nearly 30% from 2024. It was led by tree nuts and other horticulture products. Exports so far this year are trailing the same period last year on a dollar value basis, that according to USDA data. Here's today's final word. We've never been closer to India, and India can count on me 100% and our country. If they ever need help, they know where to call. They call right here. That President Donald Trump by phone over the weekend to an Independence Day reception in India, attended by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Indian External Affairs Minister Subrahmanyam Jaishankar, and U.S. Ambassador to India, Sergio Gore. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, May 26th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nellie.